The last month we've been talking about fighting different giants in our life. We started with the giant of fear and fighting fear. We talked about fighting the giant of discouragement. Today we're going to talk about the giant of loneliness. Max Lucado is one of my favorite authors. In a book that he wrote called 6 Hours One Friday, he talks about visiting a cemetery in his hometown of San Antonio, and he went to the back corner, and in the back corner he found a headstone, and it didn't have a date on it. It didn't have the date of birth. It didn't have the date of death, but it just said this. It said, Grace Llewellyn Smith. Again, no date, but it had the name of her two husbands. And then underneath it said this, sleeps but rests not, loved but was loved not, tried to please but pleased not, died as she lived, alone. What a sad testimony, amen? Don't know her life, don't know what was going on. But I tell you, that is a difficult epitaph, lived and died alone. I wonder just how many Grace Llewellyn Smiths there are. Amen? I believe that there are probably a whole lot more than we realize, and sometimes it may even be us. You know, you think with the population of today, with millions and millions, and, you know, even the signs on the fast food restaurants no longer say millions, but they say billions and billions served. Listen, with all those people in this world and with all the technology we have to reach out to people, you would think that nobody would be alone. Amen? You'd think. But the opposite is true. Loneliness has absolutely reached an epidemic proportion in our society today. And because of the emptiness loneliness creates, people try to compensate for that loneliness in a lot of different ways. They try to fill up the void in their life with food, drugs, sex, material things, work, even trying to rule over other people. But loneliness just has not been able to be removed by substitutes. It takes true relationships. Have you found that? It takes real relationships, and the most foundational relationship being the one with the Lord our God. Let me tell you this. Everybody experiences loneliness at some point. Everybody does. Everybody experiences it at some time. Sometimes our family moves away. Sometimes our loved ones pass away. Sometimes we get sick and are separated. And I'm not talking about just being alone. I'm not talking about getting away and finding alone time. Listen, we all need that. But I'm talking about where you are in loneliness. Long-term loneliness can certainly impact us in a lot of ways, both spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says this, And the Lord God said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. So let me just say this again. God who created mankind, God who created man in his image, started out by saying, It's not good for man to be alone. So he created woman. You know, there's a lot of people who experience loneliness in our culture, and probably every one of us can relate to at least one or maybe more of the few that I'm going to share with you. There's a lot of different lonely people. There is people that experience loneliness, and one of the first groups we think about are the lonely singles. We have a lot of singles in our day. Going home to an empty house at night, cooking a meal for one, sitting down for a conversation of one, nobody to hear the joke, nobody to laugh, nobody to carry on the conversation or change the topic, no one to encourage. You know, the myriad of single bars and nightclubs are just one indication of how desperate so many singles are to find somebody, to conquer the loneliness that's out there, to meet someone or anyone to talk to. Being a Christian helps, but it doesn't solve all of those problems, just being a Christian, if you don't take it to the right level. We have a spiritual resource to call on, the Lord our God. Amen? But if you don't call on Him, what good does it do? It's like having a blanket in the closet when you're cold but never pulling it out. Human beings were not created to spend their life alone. Now, I'm not talking about just a marriage relationship. Listen, God says that in the Word, He said, Paul even encouraged us. He says, look, He said, I encourage you to be like me. Don't get tied down with a spouse and a family. That way you can serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But He says, but not everybody has that gift. So we're not talking about just marriage exclusively, but we're talking about the presence of others. God did not create you to go through this life alone. The second group that we really think about is a lonely spouse. Now, I don't know how many people there are, but there have got to be people in the millions who are given a ring but not given a heart. Are you with me? It is a great tragedy that the very institution that God our Father created to provide the greatest of intimacies often becomes the place of the greatest loneliness. It's a sad and tragic thing that the very relationship that God has ordained to combat loneliness for many people has become one of the loneliest places on this earth. Then there are the lonely survivors. There are those whose spouse has gone on and they're left when a loved one dies by themselves. And I've got to tell you that people who have experienced that kind of pain have experienced a pain that those of us who have not been through that cannot understand. You cannot understand that. Not unless you've been there. Someone that you were tied to, the person who was your other, the person who completed you, the one that God brought to them and said, you will no longer be two but one, and then that person goes. What does that do? Listen, it leaves that person with such a place of emptiness that there's really nothing else in life that can describe that and to which it can be compared. Those of us who have not been through it can only imagine. And the greater the love that you had in a relationship like that, the greater the pain of loss. Does that make sense? And it's not always just a death that causes a spouse to be alone, but often divorce is what causes a survivor to be left alone. And in a lot of ways, divorce, dear people, can be more painful than a death. It really can, because there is no finality to it. There is no closure to it. And divorce has caused in many people an open wound that rarely gets healed. Very rarely gets healed. There's not only the physical and the emotional loneliness to contend with, but in a divorce there is often the sense of rejection and failure as well that has to be contended. Yes. You know, I always pray, Lord, don't let my faltering get in the way, but it has to be contended with. Then there is the lonely senior. And I'm going to tell you, you know, our culture is getting grayer every year. And that's a great thing, because that means that we're living longer, or people are getting grayer sooner. I'm not sure which it is, but I think that we're living longer. But often the lonely senior has lost a spouse. Their children has moved away. They struggle to find a place to fit in, and they feel really insignificant wherever they're at. They can't find a place to feel significant at. In their retirement, they've lost a position of authority or influence or respect. And the loss of significance, a lot of times, folks, is one of the most acute lonelinesses that we can face. Searching to find companionship and a sense of significance in our golden years can be difficult. And those golden years sometimes could just be the tarnished years if there's not something to do with yourself. Another lonely person is the lonely sufferer. And that's the folks who are in the hospital or at home in convalescence. They constantly have a difficulty, a suffering, or a pain or an illness that they battle. And it is difficult because constant pain and illness often leads to isolation and depression. And folks, unless there is something that you can do to battle that, it can be a deep and very dark time. Often the sufferer feels very isolated and alone. And I've been told by many who've been through this that nighttime is the worst, when they're alone and the darkness is there. And then there is another one that I want us to discuss, and that is the lonely servant of God. You know that we have missionaries that leave this culture. They leave what they know. They leave the people they know. They leave the homes they know. They leave the people they love. And they go to a place with different food, different culture, different languages, no friends, no family. And I'm going to tell you, that's got to be tough. And they do it because they love the Lord, and they do it because they want to serve God. But leadership can be a very lonely place. Not just our missionaries, but even those who serve in any kind of leadership. You may recall in Numbers chapter 11, verse 14, Moses said, "I cannot carry all these people that you've given me, God. I can't do it by myself. The burden is too heavy for me." Anybody who's been in a position of leadership knows that you can be a leader in a very large organization and still be lonely. You can still have a lot of solitude and aloneness. It just comes with the territory. Pastors, leaders, that's why pastors need Jonathans. Amen? Whether your name is actually Jonathan or we're just using that. Listen, pastors need Jonathans. Leaders need Jonathans. Listen, I share all of these scenarios with you, and I've gone through them very quickly because I want to remind you of this. There are a lot of people that are alone. But understand this, it is not a sin to be lonely. It's not a sin to be lonely. That's why I want to share this with you. It happens from time to time. It's not a sin to be lonely, but we can develop a sinful response to our loneliness. It's not a sin if we should be visited by loneliness, but it is a sin when we let loneliness move in and establish a permanent place in our heart and in our life. So, what are we supposed to do? First of all, I want us to look at some examples of loneliness in God's Word. The Bible tells us that there were a number of people, a number of even great Bible heroes that were very lonely at times. King David was lonely. He wrote in Psalms chapter 102, verses 3, 6, and 7, he said, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake, and I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." Can you hear that loneliness there? In Psalm 142, verse 4, he says, "I look on my right hand, and I see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one has cared for my soul." Can the king of a kingdom feel lonely? Listen, if the king of a kingdom can feel lonely, anybody can feel lonely. And then there was the prophet Jeremiah. He tells one of the most agonizing stories that you'll ever read in God's Word. He watched out over the city of Jerusalem as they turned their backs on God, as they turned their hearts away from God, and as they fell into a sin that just literally pushed the Lord their God away from them. And he became what we call the weeping prophet. Lamentations was written by him about, and it literally is a book of funeral poetry for a dying Jerusalem. Nobody would listen to his repentance, and it was a lonely voice crying in the wilderness. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 2, he wrote this. Listen, he said, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." You see what he's saying? He's saying it would be better off if I could just go out in the wilderness and be alone than to stay in the middle of all these people and feel alone in the middle of all my people. I'm going to tell you, one of the loneliest places to be is in the middle of a crowd. Amen? Have you ever thought about that? That you can be alone in the middle of a bunch of people. People don't acknowledge you. People don't care about you. You feel like nobody's there for you. And in the midst of people, when everybody else seems to be having just a great time, you're there alone. The aloneness is accentuated, and it becomes so acute that it can overwhelm us. Now, not just Old Testament prophets and not just Old Testament guys, but even New Testament. I want to talk to you about a guy who was one of the most powerful Christians that we've ever known, and that was the Apostle Paul. Wrote so much of the New Testament. You'd think that a powerful Christian like Paul the Apostle would not suffer from loneliness, and yet he did. At the end of his very last letter, 2 Timothy, he wrote and he talked about all who had abandoned him, that he was alone. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm just going to, can we put it up on the board there and you can kind of follow along with me. But he goes through there and he says, be diligent to come to me quickly. And now look at these things. He says, verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he goes down and he says, and Crescens left for Galatia, Titus left for Dalmatia. And he goes on down in verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but everyone forsook me. Listen, I think Paul was feeling a little alone. I think he was feeling a little loneliness. The point of all this, and why I tell you about these people, and why I remind you that God's word tells us that a lot of people felt alone, is to help you and to help me to understand that when you feel alone, you don't have to be there by yourself. Because you see, you're not the first one there and you're not the last one to be there. It's known by many in our culture and by many of us now and forever. It's not a sin to be lonely. It can become a sin, but it's not a sin to be lonely. Only when we indulge in it does it become a sin. So what do we do? God's word gives us four things that I think will help us, and I want to go through those very quickly with you this morning. God has given us an escape from the pits of aloneness, and I want you to take note of these. First and foremost, acknowledge the reality. Christian friends, we've made such an art of platitudes, haven't we? You know, I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, our pat testimonies are too neat to be real. You know what he's saying with that? He says, obviously the speaker says what they think should be said rather than what is true of their real experience. So what does he mean? Have you ever heard an answer like that? Let me put it this way. Have you ever had somebody say, you know, you say, well, hey, you know, you need to come on back to church. And they say, well, you know, I just can't go back to church. You know, I just really can't follow along with my experience with God and my trust in the Lord because a good friend of mine was a Christian, and, man, they just failed me. They just did wrong, and it has so discouraged me that I just don't think that I can go back to church anymore. What do we tell them? What's the pat answer? We say, oh, don't put your eyes on men, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Listen, I've heard that excuse and testimony many times, and I've used the scripture that says, you know, that we're supposed to keep our eyes on God, and it's true, right? It's true, but a lot of times what we don't say is what we really ought to tell them, and that is, you know, I had that problem too. You know, one time the preacher forgot to come see me. You know, one time my Sunday school teacher didn't call me. You know, I had a friend of mine who did wrong. You know, I had people who really should have stood up and done right, and they didn't do it, and it discouraged me so that I just wanted to quit. But instead of doing that, we just say, oh, you know, just keep your eyes on the Lord, and we go on. Listen, I'm going to tell you what they don't need is a platitude. What they need is an experience from you that shows them how to use the platitude. I mean, I'm not saying that the platitude is not real, because it is true. We need to keep our eyes on Christ Jesus. But we also need to make sure that we can share it with them from our experience. Because you see, a lot of times the only Jesus that others will ever see will be you. And what you do will make the difference for them and in them. Have you ever had somebody give you one of those kind of answers? Don't watch people. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Or how about this one? What about this loneliness thing? What if somebody says, well, you know, I could never be lonely because Hebrews chapter 13, 5 says, God is with me and he will never leave me and never forsake me. Therefore, I have never felt alone. There's a very Christian response to that. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt just, I mean, you know, just in any circumstance, felt, man, I'm by myself in this. And even when it's not true, we can still feel that way. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 does say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Theologically, that is absolutely true, but a lot of times it doesn't match our position when we start sharing it with somebody. Our position shouldn't just be to throw a scripture at them, but our position ought to be that we say, look, it's happened to me too. Don't deny your situation. It's what it all comes down to. Acknowledge the reality and be honest and forthright with God. He already knows, right? So who are we lying to? Not to God, but to ourselves. We can say, oh, I'm not lonely. God is always with me. How about we just come out and confess it to God and just say, God, I feel so alone right now. I just don't know what to do. Would you please show me? Would you cry out to God and then be quiet long enough for God to give you an answer? Admit and acknowledge the reality to God. Now, I do want to read that scripture to you in just a moment, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 that was read a little earlier by Patrick is such a very real promise of God. But don't let it be just something that you quote at people. Would you please share it out of your experience with them? Then the next thing we need to do is accept God's provision. Acknowledge the reality and then accept God's provision. In Matthew chapter 6, we have verses 29 and following through 34. We see that God said we're not supposed to trust ourselves. We're not supposed to look into what we can do, but look for God's provision. Matthew 6, 33, you may recall, tells us what? You remember what it says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that we need will be added to us. Listen, that includes overcoming our loneliness. Right in the middle of that passage of 25 through 34, there's that understanding. Seek the Lord. You see, ultimately, God's provision for our loneliness is the only provision that there is. God's provision is the only solution. You see, we were created with a fundamental emptiness right in here. When you were born, when you were formed, when you were in mama's womb, when you were just the tiniest thing and your heart began to beat, and God made you, he gave you a soul, and even in that soul at that time, you had an emptiness in you that needed to be filled, and it can only be filled by the one who created you. He's the only one that can do that to its fullness. Now listen, we can try to fill it with a lot of other things, and we try. We try to fill it with all kinds of stuff, but the only thing that will fill us in that God-shaped void, as we say, is a personal, loving, intimate relationship with God. Nothing else will fill it. And until Jesus Christ fills our hearts, we're going to feel incomplete. That's just the way it is. Even when there's no crisis in your life, even when you don't think that you're alone and you're not feeling alone, the only thing that will give you the full complement of being full and the fullness of life is Jesus Christ. He says that I came to give you life that you might have it abundantly. Jesus Christ not only came to bring us the good news, the gospel, but he is the good news. I mean, he's not just the bearer, he is it. So you don't just say, okay, what did he say? But you take him as well. You look in here and see what God said. Look in here and see what God brings to us. He is the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid for our sins. And when he did so, Jesus Christ himself experienced the greatest loneliness that ever was on this earth. Because you see, as he hung on that cross, and as sin came on him, God the Father could not look upon sin. All our sin that came on Christ was poured out on him on that cross. He bore it. God could not look on it. And when he turned his back because he could not look on that sin, because he is a holy God, Jesus Christ cried out to him and said, "My God, my God, why?" If Jesus himself felt times of being alone, you know that we have to understand that it happens to us too. Our holy God could not look at Christ Jesus as he took on that sacrifice. And I want you to understand this. Jesus was left alone by God the Father to deal with our sin so that we might never have to be alone again. And we don't have to be alone again. He never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. Without the presence of God, you just cannot solve loneliness without solving the basic issue of separation from God. So, dear folks, accepting Jesus Christ and being filled with his Holy Spirit is the first step to overcoming loneliness. And I want to encourage you, if you've never met Christ as your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting on? When God tugs on your heart, would you call out to him? He is the answer for your aloneness. So the first thing is acknowledge the reality and go ahead and confess it. God, I'm lonely, or whatever other problem we have. Secondly, accept God's provision. And his first provision is his Son. And then third, allow God's word to fill your heart and mind, because that is a part of his provision for us as well. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." That's what we're supposed to do, is meditate on these things. This is the Word of God. Jesus brought the good news, folks, and the good news is his word. And if we don't get into his word, you're going to miss what God's provision is for you. Now, I know that we can say that's a platitude. Well, just get into the word of God. There's another one that we can throw at somebody. But folks, it's true. If you don't get into the word of God, you are missing the blessing of God. His first provision was Jesus Christ. His first provision was his Son. His second provision is the Word, the Bible, his Word to us. It's the presence of God in his Word spoken to us very clearly. Psalm chapter 27, verse 10 says this. It says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Folks, if you want to know how God is taking care of you, turn to his Word. There are so many scriptures that tell us about who he is and what he's done for us. Just get in the word of God and listen to his word. I know a lot of people just say, "Well, you know, I just don't feel like it." Listen, I reminded you not too long ago about a concept called force feeding. Sometimes you just need to eat for your own good. Amen? Amen? Thought I'd lost y'all. The next thing that we need to do is activate your network of Christian friends. This is going to be a hard one. I don't mean to offend some of you folks, and I don't mean to make you upset, but here's the truth. Did you know that loneliness is a matter of choice? Now, I'm not saying that moments alone and moments of loneliness are always a matter of choice. I know sometimes those things happen. But I'm going to tell you this, loneliness is a choice. Momentary, maybe not, but staying there is. God has given us his Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us his Word. And folks, he's given us his people. You know what that's called? The church. He's given us his people. Did you know that every time the word saints is used in God's word, that it's always in the plural? There's a reason for that, because it's not just one. It's all of them. Saints is always plural. All of them are for us, and we are for them. He did not leave us alone. He gave us the church. The body of Christ exists to encourage and to strengthen Christians. But if we refuse to get involved, it's difficult for that to happen. Every time somebody joins this church, do you remember what I do? I have them come forward after we talk. We visit my office sometime. I talk to them about their relationship with the Lord. I talk to them about what being a member means. And then when they're brought to this church, they stand right here in front of you. And do you remember what I tell them? I will ask you as a congregation, I say what? Will you open up your kinship and fellowship? Will you open up your circle of friends to include these people? And what do I ask you to say? Yes, I will. And then what do? Do I just leave it at that? Nope. I turn to the people that are here that are going to be joining the church, and I said, will you also open up your circle of kinship and friendship? And will you receive these folks? Because it doesn't work well if one circle is open and the other is closed. You've got to have an open heart. If we refuse to get involved and to encourage and strengthen other Christians, it's difficult for God to work with you together. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I'm just not like you. I'm not gregarious. I'm not outgoing. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible has a word for you. Are you listening to me? For those of you who's used that as an excuse, I want you to listen to me. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man who would have friends must first show himself to be friendly. What you going to do with that one? So I've had people say, well, I just don't think it's my responsibility to initiate being friends. Well, whose responsibility is it? You can't sit around and say, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to sit here until somebody comes to me. Now, if you feel like I'm pointing you out here, I'm talking to everybody. Because it's not just folks who visit here, but folks who are members here and anybody here. You can't just say, well, I'm just going to sit here, and if nobody ever comes to me, well, fine, I'm just going to be alone. That's a sinful heart and a sinful attitude. Loneliness is a choice. I'm going to tell you, in a church, and our church is not this big. Can you imagine in churches that are bigger? There are people who come in, and they would like to greet you, and they'd like to walk up to you and say, hi, welcome to Grace Point Fellowship. We're glad to have you here, but they're afraid that you've been here longer than they have, because they sit on a different side, and they've seen you, but they don't know you. They don't know your name. Listen, it happens. Sometimes folks who have been here for a long time just happen to be kind of quiet in the background, but people don't know who they are. Or maybe they're in the nursery a lot. Well, hi, welcome to Grace Point. Yeah, I've been serving here for 5 years. Loneliness is a choice. We all have loneliness at times, but if you stay lonely, it's because you've decided that that's what you're going to do. Now, every believer must assume the responsibility for their own emotional and spiritual health, including not lingering in loneliness. You've just got to do that. And at Grace Point, there are opportunities. If you've been a member here for years, or if you just joined, or you're thinking about being a part of the fellowship here at Grace Point, you need to know that there are a lot of doors to service and fellowship here. A lot of doors. We have Bible studies for men. We have Bible studies for women. We have Bible studies for couples. We have Bible studies for youth and Bible studies for children. We have them every Sunday morning at 9:30. Every Sunday morning. We have some on Sunday nights. As a matter of fact, and some on other nights. If you're a part of a home group, I want you to indulge me here. Would you? If you're a part of a home group and you go at least occasionally to a home group, would you stand up for just a minute? Just stand up. You go to a home group Bible study. Oh, our youth don't go to a home group Bible study at the youth pastor's house? You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, y'all look around. Oh, there we go. Y'all look around. Listen, there's almost somebody within your touch. All right, y'all can be seated. Now, if you wonder where that Bible study is, there you go. Ask some of these folks, where is that study that you go to? What night is it on? Some of them rotate different places. Folks, we have opportunities for you to be involved in service and ministry. As a matter of fact, one of them was in your bulletin for the last several weeks about being a part of a service committee. If you would like to be a part, I'll tell you what, I believe with all my heart, and I've been a pastor for over 40 years now, that this is the easiest place to get involved of any place I've ever been. It is easy to be involved if you want to be. So activate your Christian network of friends. That's why God gave us to each other. I want to read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe be to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'm going to tell you, folks, we need one another. We need each other. We need to be holding on to each other. Yes, I believe in the all-sufficiency of the Lord our God. He is able to do all things for us. Amen? But I'm going to remind you of this. Have you noticed? God likes to use people. And when we call out to God and we say, Lord, I'm in need, seldom does he float down a check from heaven. Seldom does he put cash under your door. Except that it is done through another church member. God, I'm so lonely. Send me somebody. I don't think Father Abraham's going to show up in your living room. But I think Brother Steve might. Amen? Amen? We just should not be a church where people feel isolated. And yes, I put the responsibility on each individual person to fight loneliness, but we cannot remove the responsibility from the church body either, can we? It's not just the individual, it is the body. And we need to be there for each other. The body has a responsibility to reach out. And one thing that we need to do every Sunday, if not every day, but every Sunday morning when you get up, would you get up just a few minutes early so that you can have a little quiet time? And would you pray to God and would you just ask God, Lord, would you speak to my heart today? Would you use me today? And by the way, Father, I know that I'm going there to be with a lot of other people, but God, there's going to be one person there today who is going to need my encouragement. They're going to need a word from you, Lord, and I'm going to ask you, would you show me that person, and would you give me the word that they need, and would you be looking for that person? Because I'm going to tell you one more time, the loneliest place to be alone is in a crowd. And nobody comes to church to be alone. Nobody. If they did that, they'd stay home and watch TV, right? Loneliness, dear friends, is a choice. The Bible says that we come to worship and that we should do so encouraging one another. So when you come, would you let your choice not only be that I'm willing to be encouraged by somebody else, but also I'm willing to encourage. We may not like our life circumstances and we may not feel like we've been dealt with very fairly in our life, but in the end, our response to our circumstances is what's going to make the difference. Our response is going to determine our spiritual and emotional health. God puts the responsibility very squarely on us. We must accept what God has done for us. He gave us His Son. He died on the cross for your sin and mine. He gave us His Word that is a constant reminder of His love and His care and His direction for us. And He's given us the church. He's given us the body to reach out and to love and to care. Now you can accept Jesus Christ and all the resources that He offers, and you can know the resources that He has for you for the rest of your life. Or you can go on alone and continue in aloneness and with the pain that comes with that decision. That is your choice. My recommendation is that you receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. My recommendation is that you call out to Him and that you admit your need, that you call out to Him and you call on His Son and your Savior, Jesus Christ. My recommendation is that you go to the Word of God. My recommendation is that you call on the church for your strength and your help. Look beyond your circumstances and look into the face of the one and only who can absolutely give you healing and help and fullness and who loves you with all of His heart, your Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, it's never fun to feel that we are lonely. But God, I pray that if there are those here today, for whatever reason, Lord, whatever circumstance, whatever situation they're in, if they're feeling alone, Lord, I pray that they would take the initiative from your Holy Spirit even right now to call on your help. God, that they would just admit that they need help. God, that they would call on your Son. God, that they would turn to your Word. God, that they would feel the fellowship of your church. Father, it is our hope and our prayer that no one would ever feel abandoned. But God, we all feel alone at times, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us back to you. Father, would you help us to reach out, not only inside this church, but Father, to our community where so many people are fighting aloneness, feeling lonely, feeling desperate, feeling the need. God, would you help us this morning not only to overcome our own loneliness, but Father, to help others in the same need.